morning. It's good to see so many visiting with us today. We're glad that you're here. Hope that you can come back and be with us again. We meet again tonight at 5 o'clock if you can be back this afternoon. I want to talk this morning about the subject of honor your father and mother. Before I get started with this, this is not designed to be a shot across the bow as Ethan is leaving to go back to Tampa. This is actually a request from someone, and no, it was not your mother, Ethan, that requested this lesson. It was somebody else. But when we talk about honor your father and mother, this is one of the Ten Commandments that was brought over to the new law intact. And the word honor means to fix a value on something. It's considered to be a prized possession. So when you look at the Ten Commandments, you see that the first four commandments centered on God and the worship of God. You must have no other gods before Him. You must not make any graven image that would be worshipped or treated as an image of God. You must keep God's name holy. You must keep the Sabbath day holy by stopping your work and focusing on God's deliverance. But the final six commandments focus on treatment, the treatment of other people. The first four commandments in the Old Testament focus on treatment of God, but the other six focus on treatment of other people. And I think it's significant that what we see here is directing our attention toward the way the family interacts with one another. The first commandment regarding treatment of others is not about murder. It's not about adultery. It's not about stealing. But it's rather about the family. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is a commandment that we know very well. What does it mean, though, to honor your father and mother? Why is this so critically important? Why was it so important that it was included in the Ten Commandments? And certainly it was important. I think the location and that it is the first command that deals with the treatment of each other, you know, makes you want, is that location in the Ten Commandments specifically important? So what does it look like to honor your father and mother? So the idea of honoring your parents includes the idea of respect. When you look in the Old Testament, it's very clear to see what this meant, because there's a lot of instruction regarding this. In Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 through 3, to speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, say to them, "You shall be holy, for I, your Lord, your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God." So the idea here is about respect. And this is what God was telling Moses to tell the people, that they needed to, the children needed to respect their mother and father. And that is pleasing to God. It's repeated in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul tells children to obey their parents, and he proves his point by repeating this command to respect or honor parents. And there's lots of things that you can see that are involved in that. It means listening to their teachings. It means paying attention. It means being grateful. It means not mocking them or treating them scornfully. And we'll talk some more about those things as we go through the lesson. But I think most of us have enough common sense that we know what it means to honor and to dishonor, and what it means to respect someone or to show disrespect to another. So this is something that's important to understand. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." So Paul quotes this, and he gives us some indication about how this is to be understood. He says it's the right thing to do. In the Colossian letter, he says something similar, where he says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." When we think about this idea of honoring parents, we think about obedience, and I think that's a natural thing for our minds to go to. But it really is more than that. There's more to the command than just being obedient. There's reverence and there's respect. Why? You know, there's not any other reason given here on why to do this other than that they are your parents. There's not any other reason given. This commandment is not qualified in that it says honor your parents only if it's personally perceived by you that they are deserving of such honor. Some of you may remember Dr. Laura Schlesinger, who used to have a radio program. I don't know if she does anymore, but she wrote this in one of her books. It does not mean honor only if the person is perceived as deserving, or honor only if that person always reciprocates, or honor them only if it's pleasing for you to do so, or honor them only if you get complimented for doing so, or honor them only if it feels right, or honor only if other people are also doing that as well. I think David is a good example of this. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, when Saul is trying to kill David by hunting him down with an army. Of course, Saul is trying to kill him, but David still has respect for him, and David still shows respect for his position. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 10 and 11. I want you to pay special attention here to how David addresses this person who a lot of people would think, well, he's certainly not behaving in a way that he would deserve any respect. But David shows his respect in the way that he treats Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 10 and 11. Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today in my hand in the cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not put out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For by the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you may know and see that there is no wrong or reason or wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it. So he certainly reminded Saul of what Saul was intending to do. But even though Saul is trying to kill him, David still treated him with respect. Certainly there's some lessons in this, and respect for a parent does not mean following them into sin. If a parent violates the laws of God, the child must follow the higher authority, which would be God. But let's assume that we have our parents, we give them respect because that is the position that they are in. They have that position in our lives. My father reminded me many, many times that I did not have a choice about who my father was, and that I didn't have any perfect parents, and nobody had any perfect parents, but I was still their child, and he was still my father, and so there were some things that had to take place because of that, because he was in that position, and I was in my position. And so dishonoring parent is something that throughout the Scripture it is mentioned as being something that is displeasing to God. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9. Anyone who curses his father or mother shall be put to death. He has cursed his father or mother. His blood is upon him. You know, if we were still under the old law, there'd be a lot less kids, I guess, because you know, this is something that was very serious. And you can tell that God takes it seriously by the penalty for this disrespect. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 21, Deuteronomy chapter 21, starting in verse 18, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. he is a glutton and a drunkard, then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear." I don't know how many times this took place, but certainly the fact that this was spelled out very explicitly what the penalty for this was would have had an effect on me. And I'm certain that it had effect on parents, and it had an effect on the children as well. And if the children were out of line, the parents would remind the children of this penalty. And this is not the only instruction that there was in the Old Testament regarding respect for parents. There are a few other things. We won't take the time to turn to each one of these passages, but the law taught children not to kill their parents, not to curse their parents, not to steal from their parents, and not to treat their parents with scorn. Now, we live in a time when all these things are done. We live in a time when parents are disregarded. And in fact, when you watch television shows, many times the parents are portrayed, especially the fathers, are portrayed as being buffoons and not knowing anything, and they're treated with disrespect. And many times the dialogue that is written for kids, it's written in a very snarky way or disrespectful way towards the parents, and it's supposed to be funny. And and it mirrors what we see in our society. Our society is a far cry from ancient societies and even some modern societies in other regions where children actually obey their parents and they give them honor because they are the parents and they are their parents all the days of their lives. In some societies, there are children that listen to and honor their parents, not just when they're little, but all the days of their lives. And that brings up an interesting thought. How long are we supposed to honor our parents? I know that when I was, about to graduate from high school, I couldn't wait to get out of the house. I couldn't wait to be out from under my mother and father's rules. But when I got off to college, they told me to quit calling home because it wasn't like we have now where you can talk as much as you want for one low rate. Every time I called them, it cost them a lot of money. Is there somebody else you can talk to down there? So I thought that I wanted to be away from them, but it turned out that really wasn't the case. But it makes you wonder, when are we no longer under our parents? Or when are we in a situation where we don't need to honor them anymore? Is it when we turn 18? Society, for some things, considers that when you're 18, you're an adult. Or if not 18, 21, certainly. So it's 21 when you can stop respecting your parents and stop honoring your parents. I think it's important to notice that what we see in this command, there is not given an age limitation for this. It's difficult to suppose that this command about being obedient to God and about honoring parents was merely directed to just the little children. And certainly, as we read in the Scriptures this morning in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus talks to the Pharisees about their disrespect and dishonor of their parents and the ways that they are treating them. The Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked about the disciples breaking the tradition of the washing of hands before they eat. And he turned that around on them and asked them, "Why is it that you are breaking the commandment of God?" What commandment of God is it that they're breaking? Well, they're breaking this commandment of God, certainly in the Ten Commandments, that they're not honoring their father and mother. And how are they not doing that? Well, they have a responsibility toward their mothers and their fathers to take care of them in their old age. But they say, "Well, I don't have any money to give you, Mom and Dad, because I'm giving it all to the temple. I'm giving it all to charity, and I don't have any for you anymore." And so Jesus is saying, this isn't the way that you're to behave. These are adults that he's talking to. And he said, you're not honoring your parents. And so honoring parents is not something that is just reserved for little children. It's something that he said, you have a responsibility to honor your parents, and you're not doing that. So Jesus applies this command to honor father and mother to these Pharisees because they were not helping care for them. We need to recognize that what we see here is that this is kind of an ancient social security system or nursing care system because they were taking care. Care for one's parents was to continue throughout their lifetime. And that was the way that they showed honor for their mother and father. And today, you know, many times we see the opposite of this. We see the opposite of people taking care of their parents. You know, Jarrell many times is working in nursing homes or assisted living facilities. And she sees all the time children who have no regard for their parents. And sometimes she sees children that are good children. And she sees them visiting the mother and father that are in the nursing home. I can remember when we were in Dothan, my father would go and visit nursing homes sometimes, and he would look at the list of people that were there, and if somebody associated themselves with a body of Christ, he'd go and see them, even if he didn't know them. And there was a woman that was there, and when he got to talking to her, he figured out that her family worshiped with us. And he asked about that, are you related so-and-so? And she said, yes, I am. She said, but I haven't seen him in 3 years. But you're in the same city with them. You have a relative that's right here in the city who's elderly and is in a nursing home, and you haven't gone and seen them? Yeah, they didn't have any regard for that responsibility. And you can bet my father went and talked to that family about it. Did you know that you've got a relative over here just a few miles from your house? Oh, yeah, we know she's here. And back to Jarrell, she sees this all the time in her work where there are people that are lonely that would love to just have somebody to talk to. And, of course, they'll latch on to anybody that will talk to them if their family is not there, taking care of that responsibility. So what Jesus is saying to these Pharisees is you have a responsibility to your mother and father, and you're not taking care of that, and you're just making excuses. You're trying to find some out, some technicalities to say, well, you know, I'm giving all my money to the church. I'm giving all my money to somebody else. He said, you still have a responsibility. You are trying to nullify what God wants you to do by sake of your tradition. And, you know, sometimes when you look at those kind of situations, there might be some reasons for that happening. Maybe that person wasn't very nice. Maybe the mother or father or grandmother or aunt, uncle, whoever it is, nobody wants to be around them. Sometimes those kind of relationships are complex. But does that mean that you don't have a responsibility? I understand that there are times when children cannot physically care for their parents any longer. And it's not that they don't want to do that, but they simply cannot because the needs of the parent are too difficult or complex and it requires a facility to help. But the point is that the Bible tells us that parents are to lovingly care for their children. And children, after they have been raised, they are to turn around and show that same kind of care for their parents. The children will offer loving care for their parents and do that until they die, or they should. The command to honor our parents sometimes is not easy because parents aren't perfect. Sometimes parents are sinful. If it was always easy to honor parents, then the commandment probably wouldn't have been necessary. And I need to point out one limitation on this. The limitation was this declaration that was given to the marriage relationship in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. We see marriage instituted. Of course, when this was declared, Adam and Eve did not have parents. So this command was given to all generations that the man is going to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. So the man's primary responsibility moves from his mom and dad to his own wife and own family. But that does not negate his need to honor them. So this new marriage relationship is the primary concern. And then the parents become the secondary concern. Parents are not cast aside. The parents have to realize, too, that there's a change in that relationship. Sometimes that's not always easy for the parents. May not be easy for the children either. To make that transition to that new responsibility and relationship. Sometimes parents can be destructive. They can be invasive. They can be damaging to the marriage relationship of their children. But the point is that the man is to leave his parents and cling to his wife. And the parents need to understand that as well. There's relationships that have to continue, though. We have to live in a way that God would have us to live and take care of the responsibilities that we have both to our immediate families and to our parents. So there's a lot of commands that are for our benefit. To leave father and mother while at the same time showing honor to our parents. How do we do that? We need to raise children that will do that. Listen to this concern that has been expressed about children. Youth today love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people, and talk nonsense when they should work. Young people do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents, talk too much in company, guzzle their food. They lay their legs on the table and tyrannize their elders. This was said by Socrates 400 years before Christ. The same problem that existed 400 years before Christ exists today. And it is a grave sin that when the parents commit when they rear children to be self-centered. How do we do that? How do we raise children to be self-centered? By letting them kick and scream in the grocery store and whatever it is that they want on the shelf, we're going to get that for them just to get them to be quiet. Letting them have everything that they want. Letting their desires rule the family. We order our world around their every whim. Belts are only used to hold up pants. You spare the rod, spoil the child. The point is, children are not born honoring their parents. Have you ever noticed how a child behaves when they enter in the world? The first thing that they do is they cry every time they're hungry. And they want, and you have to keep feeding them to get them to be quiet. Well, that's normal, isn't it? But what if they're 5 years old and they keep screaming every time they want something? You know, well, I know how I can get them to be quiet is I can keep giving them what they want. That's not the way that you will raise a child to be the opposite of what Socrates pointed out. Children are not born honoring their parents. They must be taught to do that. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says the reason that this must be done is important. that your days may be long in the land that the Lord God is giving you. This is a promise to the people of Israel. Disobedient children are going to cause a lot of problems for Israel. Leviticus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 21, which we looked at earlier, it reveals that dishonoring your parents is something that is a crime. And God said that must be purged, that evil must be purged from their midst. God is saying that if you want to stay in the right relationship with God and remain in the promised land, then you need to raise your children to do this, to honor, respect, and obey you. Well, why is that? You know, is it just that God doesn't want kids to have any fun? What is the reason? It should be clear in our minds. The reason is a life of sin stems from disobedience and disrespect. And children that are brought up in an atmosphere of disobedience and disrespect will not only have a hard time in their immediate family, and not only will they be displeasing to God if that's something that matters to them, but it's going to be difficult for them in other areas of their life. In fact, I know of a young man who recently took on a job. And in the past, he's never had to be responsible to anybody. This is what a friend of his was telling me. He's never had to be responsible. He did not ever have a job before. And now he's having to get up in the morning. He's having to be accountable. He's having to answer to someone. And the point is that this is a really good thing, because this is a life lesson that he really should have learned a long time ago from his parents on how to be responsible and respectful and obedient, and has never learned that. And if he doesn't learn it, he's going to have a very hard time in the workplace. So a life of sin stems from disobedience and disrespect. Children will not learn obedience to God and respect of God without first obeying and respecting their parents, or it will be very difficult. Parents are the first and foremost representatives of authority. And those of you that are in the education system, you know, Gary and Beth and others, I hear stories from people all the time that are in the educational system that they can tell who is answering to authority at home and who is not. Because if they are problems at home and the parents are not demanding respect and obedience, it becomes a problem for the teachers and everybody else that deals with them. If your children do not respect and honor you, will they honor and respect the laws of the land? If your children do not respect and honor you, will they honor and respect their teachers? If your children do not respect and honor you, will they honor and respect God? If your children do not obey you, will they obey the laws of the land? If they do not obey you, will they obey their teachers? Will they obey God? If your children are not honoring you, respecting you, and obeying you now, whether it be as a toddler, a preschooler, elementary school, preteen, teenager, then something has to change, or they're not going to make it well in life, physically or spiritually, because they're not going to respect any authority. And I believe wholeheartedly that is the reason that we see so much of the problems that we see today in our society. Because we have a generation, maybe several generations, of those that are selfish, that have always gotten what they want. And now when they don't get what they want to rebel and they want to make it everybody else's fault. When children are young, they must be taught that respect and obedience is something that should be expected. And that was something that my father expected of us. And it wasn't always easy for him, because some of us were a little stubborn. But now I know what it is that he was trying to do. I know the point that he wanted to get across. And you can tell when somebody has had that kind of influence in their life. You know, I still cringe when people call me sir, because I don't think I'm that old. But there are those that I come in contact with my work, and those that are, you know, really, if I have to admit it, they're a lot younger than I am. And they say, yes, sir. I think, well, you know, somebody has taught them to do that, and they're showing some respect, and they're showing some honor, or they just think I'm really old. But the Scripture is filled with instructions about training your children and how to teach your children. When you look at the Proverbs, you look at the instruction that Paul gives to Timothy, you look at what we see in Deuteronomy, the point is made over and over throughout the Scriptures that disrespectful children are an abomination to the Lord. So God expected His people that were under His covenant to behave in a way that showed proper reverence and respect. Ultimately, God wanted people to respect and honor Him. But God understood that part of that needed to happen in the home. It needed to happen with the children honoring their father and mother. And if they were ever going to respect the authority of God, they needed to respect the authority of their parents. So it's very important. And those of you that are young or have young families or will have families in the future, it's not something that you need to wait. You don't need to wait till they're 13 and you realize you've got a problem. It needs to start when they're young. And God expects that. It's certainly summed up well in the book of Malachi. In the final words of this last book of the Old Testament, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." I don't know that I've ever really noticed that before my preparation for this lesson. This is what it comes to. This is the crux of what's being written here, is that I want to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to their fathers. Why is that mentioned? Because it's not being done. Because it has not gone according to God's plan. What God wanted, what God specified in His commandments, was not being done. The fathers were not taking on the responsibility of training their children, and the children were not honoring and respecting and obeying their parents. And the prophet says, this is a big problem and it's going to end in destruction. And parents are too worried about being their children's friend and not concerned enough about being pleasing to God and being the kind of parent God would like. You know, there were times that I didn't like my parents because they told me to do things I didn't want to do, and they didn't let me do things that I wanted to do. And I don't know that it really bothered my father if I didn't like him. Maybe it did. But if it did bother him, he didn't let it show. Because he had another purpose other than being Randy's friend. He was trying to be Randy's father. He was trying to train me so that I could be pleasing to God and that I could learn honor and respect and obedience to my Heavenly Father, and learn that through the relationship that I had with Him. Now, being a parent is not for the weak and the wimpy. It takes strength. It certainly does today when you see other people that are not going down the right path. And it certainly can hurt a parent when a child says, well, I wish that other father was my father. I wish that you'd let me do the things that they let their children do. You've got to be strong. Don't allow disobedience. Teach children respect and honor. Constant godly instruction and discipline will pay off in the long run. Honoring parents is a lifelong expectation. Love God and honor your father and mother is something that we don't ever outgrow. I hope these things will be useful to you, whether you're a child or whether you're a parent, so that you realize what God expects of you. And it will certainly help if you're trying to raise your children in such a way that you can all be home in eternity with God in heaven. We can help you in any way to reach that goal. If you haven't started that life, haven't been faithful, if we can help you in any way make that right, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.